Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Yeah, talking to me?
Talking to me?
I was trying to think of the other Enya song.
Oh,
Aya talking to me. It didn't work as well as I thought it did in my head. I guess me being reminded of a song I then couldn't remember means that it probably didn't sound anything like that song.
Quite possibly.
Sound anything like that song. This is just a tribute
to Game of Thrones. Welcome to Arya Talking to Me, a Game of Thrones podcast / sing-along. Probably more quality can be found in the Game of Thrones aspect. We
disagree.
All right.
I wanted to call this show Carrie-O. There's no Game of Thrones characters who start with O. Osha. Carrie Osha talking to me.
Okay.
You rightly pointed out that made no sense.
Yes. Arya singing to me is also good.
Door.
Welcome to Arya Talking to Me, Game of Thrones podcast, where we talk about Game of Thrones. I'm Ben Vanell. You're Adam Knox. And today we're talking about one of the best episodes of the show, I reckon.
Certainly the most expensive looking so far.
Absolutely, yes. It kind of felt like a bit of a turning point for the show because, as we've spoken about a lot of battles have happened off screen.
Yeah.
And this, it's all on screen.
And definitely, like, this one is, I think, the point where the most build up with payoff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
People talking about, well, Stannis is coming. Stannis has a big army.
Yep.
Well, you can't defend the Mug Gate. I don't know. Mm-hmm. At King's Landing being sacked, they got to prepare for war.
Totally.
And then they absolutely deliver on that.
Yeah.
Nobody farts and then fade to black.
Yes.
This is like a proper Lord of the Rings bullshit battle scene.
And I don't know if you'd call it a twist, but in terms of a payoff, the wildfire stuff, which had been hinted at and directly referenced and explored a little bit, is one of the most impressive things I've seen in a TV show.
Yeah.
This episode is called Blackwater. It is one of my favorites. Let's get stuck into it.
Blackwater, also my favorite private military organization.
Ah, yes. South African.
I think they've been renamed.
Right.
Blackwater. I read somewhere that they were renamed to like something more happy sounding than like the evil sound of Blackwater. I'm going to look that up as we go.
Operation Fun Times, I think. So this episode starts in Stannis' fleet out in the bay, and young Mathos is talking to his dad, Davos.
Mathos, still a religious zealot.
Yes.
Still very much, has the glazed over eyes of a brainwashed man.
Yes.
Early here. And
later,
the glazed over face of a burnt and washed man.
Yeah.
Academy is the name of Blackwater.
Oh, really?
Academy with an I at the end.
Fuck.
Which sounds like a free uni alternative app.
Yes. Yeah. Also suspiciously close to Illuminati. Ends with the I.
Oh, so, fucking shit.
Mate, let's not get too deep. Otherwise, we might get quietly knocked off. But, Davos, not as convinced as Mathos, the Lord of Light, has their back.
Yeah.
I think maybe this might be the point where Davos sort of like prays to the gods, like the gods plural.
Yeah, he says like, well, gods be good, we'll win.
Yep.
And Mathos is like, God, I think you mean one god, dad.
Yes.
Little idiot.
Yes. That's how we kick off. It's a little bit, I don't know, you get a little bit of, skepticism from Davos early. Which
And also just like the thing that's kept him alive this whole time that him and Stannis were talking about on the deck last episode, the one before that, whatever it was,
of like he is a kind of a cynical man, mm-hmm. but like a realistic one.
Yeah, yes.
And he keeps that up for the early moments of this, at least.
Yes, yes. So that's just a nice little establishing scene. Tyrion.
And I like both. Davos continues to be great.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. For now. Tyrion and Shay have a little nice little you know, there's a lot of sort of wartime farewells early on, which is cool. I still don't really like Shay as a character, but Tyrion does.
Yeah, and like, yeah, I don't know. I don't even remember this happening, honestly.
It's basically just like he's worried, and she's like, "Remember when you first hired me and said fuck me like it's the last day on earth?"
That's right.
So it's just a little
And he's I remember her saying that, being like, maybe don't suggest as though this is his last night on earth.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it, because there's a little bit in between where Cersei gets a little bit of that poison.
Yeah, but a little bit of nightshade, I think they call it. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Which is a very short little bit.
Yep, just a little ominous sort of, yeah.
But then, yeah, all of the soldiers are kind of partying pre-battle.
Yep.
Which I guess, like, I don't think I would have liked to have gone into battle drunk.
Mm.
In medieval days, but maybe I would have. I'm not sure. It seems...
I have a feeling... It's hard to sort of get the reality of the situation, because it's all being played up kind of lightheartedly at this point. But I'm sure at the time, if you're an infantryman, you're like, well, I'm definitely going to die.
Yeah, so especially in like a big sort of siege situation. The way those go tends to be, my impression is, everyone who was fighting at the start dies, and then you wait for 50 years.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
So, they kind of are drinking and partying like it's their last night on Earth.
Yes.
Bronn especially, singing the Lannister songs.
Yes, yes.
Which, like, not a fun theme song.
No, the Reigns of Castamere is, yeah. It's a dirge. It's pretty dark.
What's the worst AFL team song? Are there any that go like that, like... Carlton
is the one, actually. It's dun, 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 dun,
but even
dun,
that little dun, first bit was dun, 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 it's still like a slow but pretty hoarse.
Yeah, the GWS one is like it's like a Russian traditional song.
Wouldn't
it's
that
like,
have been written in like 2009 or something, though?
It was, yeah. It was written by the Cat Empire.
Really?
Yes, really. how does it go? It's
the amount that GWS bloody complain about when they lose. It should be called the Wine Song, also by the Cat Empire. Don't know how often they lose. Don't know an enormous amount about the Greater Western Sydney Giants. Mm.
So that one's no good. But yeah, the rest are like... Oh, we're from Melbourne town.
Yellow and black. Yeah, like, it's exactly. All a lot of fun, but this one not fun. But to be fair, I don't think any of the other house. I think we've heard the Stark song.
Oh, maybe
at some point.
Yeah,
I don't remember it though necessarily.
I'm pretty sure there are only like three songs. Mm. One of them is like written during the time period of the show, and it's like about Tyrion or something, or it's like about the. I forget what it is.
There was that one the Bard had to sing to Joffrey.
Yeah, that's right. That's a fun one.
But it's not a theme song. They all seem to have theme songs. And anyway, this is the Lannister theme song that they're all singing while they're drinking.
Yeah.
Bronn holding court.
Yes.
As you've written.
Yes.
With and talking to a completely naked woman.
Yeah.
You've written as though you were surprised that there was a naked woman in this show.
I know. They just had to, again, like fill the scene with something gratuitous.
Yeah.
But it also does... Like I think it is gratuitous, but it also reflects Bronn's character. He's really being like a real lad.
Yeah.
He's really ladding it up.
He's definitely one of the lads.
And he's loving it, and they're loving him.
But he would kill and eat any of them if he had to.
Yes.
You still kind of get that vibe off of him, that he's like sneaking in there just for his own ends.
Yes.
Like he kind of fits in. They're like, how do you know the Lannisters? He's like, drunk Lannisters.
Yes.
And he's clearly picked it up to become a chameleon.
Yes, totally. He's still like he's a level above them. He's smarter than them, and he's a level removed in that, he's not committed.
And everyone kind of knows it. Everyone treats him like, you are the dude who can fight him.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Like, whenever he's around.
Yep, yep. That's why he's allowed to hold court,
him,
basically.
He is treated like that by people other than the Hound, who comes in scowling at him. And I don't remember why they have beef.
It was pretty recent, I think. It was quite recent. They basically squared off and were like... The Hound was like, I could cut you in half. And Bronn was like, I could, you'd have to catch me first.
Is it when Bronn wouldn't go to help Sansa or something?
Oh,
No.
Nah, it's happened. It has happened. They've had a little beef.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't remember what that was about. I guess just two tough dudes.
Yeah.
And the Hound probably looks at him and goes, like, you're not loyal to the king.
Sure,
which
sure.
Which the Hound is still, for whatever reason at this point, has maintained his loyalty to the king.
Yes.
And I'm sure will for the entirety of the rest of this episode.
But it's, they're really, I think they have the two, they're two alphas, yeah. You know, and they're squaring off. And they do square off, and they're going to fight. But then, the fucking war's started.
Yeah.
So they all got to run off and do a war.
Is it the bells, the war bells?
Yes.
And then Varys, because Tyrion is getting ready with Podrick, his squire.
Yeah.
Varys is like, there's never any good that comes from bells.
Yes.
It's always siege or
a
war.
A king has died or a battle has started. And Tyrion, I think, is like, or a wedding. And Varys is like, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have you seen the mother-in-law?
My ex-wife, let me tell you.
Yeah, she was a real ball breaker. She broke my balls off. Yeah. But Varys also is like, look, hey, just so you know, there's this map here. We can trust Podrick, right? Yeah, yeah, he's just some weird, dumb guy we don't know yet. Mm. There's escape tunnels all throughout King's Landing. They were created so that the nobleman can get out.
Yeah. Pretty weird time to decide to show him as well. Like, memorize this map seconds before you're about to go into battle.
You can literally hear the alarms. Yeah. Like, it's, yeah. But Tyrion's like, no. I'm going down with this ship.
Yeah, and then they're like, a lot of captains say that about their ship when it's perfectly happy and floating well.
Yes.
Is the exact dialogue, yeah. I believe.
I believe you're right. That's from the books, that one, verbatim. So, yeah, that's a nice little scene of Varys offering to help. He's being a helpful boy.
Varys is weird because every time he sort of seems to help someone, it seems genuine.
Yes.
Like, he genuinely seemed to be like, ah, Ned, this sucks, you're down here in the crypt.
Yeah,
or
that's
the,
right.
Dungeons.
Yeah, yeah.
But nothing I can do.
Yeah.
Like, he seems ineffective but outwardly helpful, so maybe he's scheming in some way.
Yeah, sure. It's a lot of retrospective, like, hey, if you'd known about this or if you'd acted how I think you should have acted, you'd be okay. But, boy, you didn't. Sorry, Ned. So, yeah, Davos and the men in the fleet hear the bells are ringing, and they're like, oh, okay. I think Mathos says something dumb like, are they going to give up?
Yeah. Are those the surrender bells?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, you fucking idiot, Mathos.
You naive little bitch. Davos is like, no, they're not going to welcome us in.
And then I really like this bit where Davos just says drums quietly and then Mathos yells, drums!
Yes.
Like, why didn't you just yell at Davos?
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't like to raise his voice around his son.
Well, good for him.
And then they fucking start banging those drums and it's quite good.
It's some great Mad Max shit.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's really good. Good description, yeah.
And like, drums would have been such an effective war weapon in a weird way. Like,
yeah.
they're spooky.
Yes.
Drums are always spooky in any song. I'm afraid of every song that has drums. I only like acoustic.
Oh, yes.
Guitar. That's
Jack
it.
Johnson and so on.
I love Jack Johnson. When he hits the guitar, though, to get up a rhythm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so scary.
You immediately surrender.
Have you ever heard those whistles that I think the Aztecs used to have? And they're like little hollowed out bones.
Oh, no.
And they carve like a skull into it and you blow in them and it does this really high-pitched screaming, banshee scream.
Right. Like a velociraptor.
Kind of, maybe.
Well, you don't remember The Lost World where Sam Neill plays a velociraptor?
Oh, yeah.
He plays a little trumpet?
No, that's in Jurassic Park 3.
Oh, yes. Yeah, right.
Because The Lost World was on TV the other night.
Yeah, that's
still
right.
Still a fucking awesome movie.
Agreed. Happy to do a Lost World podcast.
Absolutely. There's enough in that.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is was a really cool sort of atmospheric moment. I liked it a lot.
Mm.
So Bronn and Tyrion have a very nice little, like, mates, you know, back and forth. Are we friends? Yeah, we're friends.
Yeah.
Just because I pay you, it doesn't mean we're not friends.
Tyrion definitely, like, both of the people who seem to actually care about him the most. I suppose Varys doesn't care about him, but, like, the people who have been his buddies.
Yep.
Well, Bronn and Shay.
Yes.
Shay, more than a buddy. Something of a fuck buddy.
Well, I wouldn't have said that.
I would say it every time I ever have any sort of relationship with anyone.
Oh!
I've never understood what it means, but I think it's like, wow, my fucking buddy.
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like swearing, so that's just me. But yeah, cool, nice little sort of buddy cop, you know, war mates thing.
Initially paid both of them.
Yes, that's true.
It does make sense that he's not necessarily sure.
Yes.
Oh, but it's more Bronn who's not sure in this, but he's like, oh, we friends, are you?
Yes. Because yeah, you're right. Like he fits in everywhere, but he doesn't belong anywhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought it was a nice little, you know, fun little moment.
Yeah, they're pals.
Mm. And he's also Bron is being sent off somewhere. We don't quite know where.
Yeah, Bron has like a task.
Yep.
To go do.
Yep.
And Tyrion has to like stand at the front lines and call the shots. Basically.
Yes. Yeah.
Sansa's hanging around in the throne room with them as well.
Yep.
And Tyrion's like, hey. Sorry, you have to be here.
Yes.
This fucking sucks for you, like everything.
Yeah.
And then Joffrey swans in like a fucking douche.
With his little entourage.
Oh, still doing that thing where he like holds his hand on his hip to show his sword as though he's going to ever use it, the little prick.
Yes.
But he walks down and he comes down. He's like, Sansa, whatever he says. And he's like, I've named my sword.
Heart Eater.
Heart Eater. This is Heart Eater. You need to kiss it before I go into battle, and then I'm going to kill Rob with it one day. This bit was great with Sansa, like, throwing shade at him.
Yeah, like, surely you'll be fighting in the vanguard where the fighting is the thickest.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to have to...
Maybe. I hadn't decided yet. And she's like, well, you know, that's where Rob would fight, and he's a traitorous dickhead, so surely you'll definitely be there.
Yeah. He's like, well, I'm going to make you kiss my sword again when it's got your brother's blood on it.
Yes.
And then I think she still says something after that to get him.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember what it is.
Yeah.
Probably like, oh, yeah? Well, the jerk store called, and I am overdue on my payments, and what I bought was a jerk detector, and it showed up that you... are a jerk.
Oh, very good.
I changed it up. That's how Seinfeld should have gone. But yeah, everyone's kind of getting to the point where if one of the characters were to die in this battle, you could consider their arc with each other closed.
Yeah, sure.
It's like kind of what it felt like a bit in a good way.
Yes, agreed. Yeah, but yeah.
It sort of sets it up that like, oh, fuck, anything could happen.
Yes, absolutely. So what's next? Oh, yeah, so basically all the lads go straight up onto the wall.
Yeah.
And they're looking over stuff. Tyrion's sort of ordering Joffrey around, I believe, at this point. He's like, Lancel, can you tell Joffrey that...
Yeah. And then there's some disagreement where Joffrey's like, we should go out there and get them or something.
Yeah.
Joffrey says, like, shoot the arrows right away. They're there. We need to kill them. And Tyrion's like, listen, you fucking... douche, you idiot.
Yeah.
Don't do that. I like the way Tyrion is with Joffrey.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, Joffrey immediately, like, switching between a childish anxiousness of, like, which, you know, makes sense to be afraid of a war, but he has, like, that dumbass swagger about him that you still go, like, yeah, you little prick, you're lying.
Yes.
And then, like, vicious smiles when shit goes their way.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. But yeah, he's basically like, where are all the ships? Go and attack him. Why aren't you shooting arrows at the ships? And Tyrion's like, shut up and wait.
Yeah. Where are our ships?
Yeah, yeah.
We've got ships. They've got all of their ones here. Their fleet is the whole thing.
Yeah.
You've messed it up, Tyrion.
Yeah.
You've definitely made a mistake here. Tyrion's like, hold on. I've been home alone for a few weeks here, and I've set up a fun little couple of traps.
Yes.
See those door handles down there on the mud gate? Not cold. Let's just say that much.
The hounds don't go near them. You'll freak out. But we cut over to Stannis' fleet, and Davos is like, where are their ships? This is a little bit strange.
Mm.
Nothing. No one's like reacting yet. Other than that, they're just going like, what? Where? What's going on?
I think they're also sort of. I got the impression that there's not a huge amount you can fucking do.
Sure.
When you're on a ship going in a direction, you can't quickly change your course.
Yeah.
So at this point, they're just like, okay.
Yeah.
I guess if they've snookered us here, we're snookered.
Sure. But I think Mathos, again, is just like, oh, they must have run away.
Yeah. Lucky they've got no ships at all.
Yes.
The king's rich city.
Yeah, yeah. So then we start this sort of little side story.
And this is kind of the rest of this episode is between the room where Sansa is going to be here and then down at the battlements.
Yes.
Where we've been.
Yeah. So, yeah, Sansa is sort of led into this little hidey hole with the queen. Cersei is there. Is Tommen there as well at this point? I think he might be
with her and then shuffled off into a corner. He doesn't play into this too much.
Yes, because she's just sitting there drinking wine by herself.
And she's kind of half cut already. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
She is noticeably more into the wine than Cersei normally is.
Yes.
Which is a lot normally.
Yeah, true. And it's sort of like, it just reinforces like, oh yeah, they're really worried they're probably going to die. So that's what you would do. Yeah, I think Mandy Moore is there, and Ilan Payne, the executioner, is there. And someone comes in and is like, I can't remember if it's Lancel or not, but someone's like, hey, look, we caught a bunch of deserters.
Yeah, Lancel's kind of running back and forth and giving information between the two groups.
Yeah. They're like, someone's like, hey, we caught some deserters. And Cersei's like, cut their heads off and stick them up on the stables.
Yeah.
The only way to retain control is to make your commoners more afraid of you than they are of the enemy.
It's like, I think that's what the Soviet army used to do.
Right.
Like anyone who either get shot up there or we will shoot you if you turn around.
Yep. Yeah. And it's a pretty common tactic, I think. Yeah.
Oh, dude, if anyone betrays me, I am ruthless in my judgment.
Yes. Famously. It sort of sets the scene that all the women, or at least the noble women, are holed away here. Cersei's getting drunk and also getting people's heads cut off.
Another good Game of Thronesy painting a bigger picture with a few words to the right people.
Yes.
Doesn't seem out of place, doesn't seem exposition-y, because the characters who are involved in the scene, like Sansa, is like, oh no, that's awful.
Mm.
But the whole point of it is to paint as though there's this city which they can't afford to show you.
Yes, true, yes.
And it works.
Yep, agreed. I didn't even think of that, but that's true. That's very true. We cut back to the battle. The fleet's approaching, and finally, one little ship makes a little break for it from the Lannister side.
Uh-oh, all the people who are on that ship must be pretty brave.
Yeah, they're making one last stand.
One first stand.
Yes.
We don't know how this battle's going to go, but let's assume we need to kill ourselves.
Yes. But wait a minute. Davos has a closer look. There's no one on the ship. You heard me right. It's empty.
Where is this?
Or is it?
Elonzo Muscus.
Yes.
From the house Muscus.
Mm-hmm.
One of those self-driving ships.
Yes. I guess it is. But it's a bit weird.
Mm.
And then I think one of them notices, I think it's Davos again, he's just like, wait a minute, there's a trail of something.
Yeah, there's like a good shot of like it pouring out and then focus pulls into Davos looking over the edge of the boat, going like, oh, like yes. Kind of big, like, oh no face.
Yeah, yeah.
Big trailer, bloody wildfire.
Yes. Tyrion's up on the wall. Joffrey's still there. Joffrey's like, what's going on? Tyrion's like, all right, the plan is working.
Here we go.
It's time.
Bronn, swing that paint can.
Yes. So Tyrion, I think, he drops a torch down into a big bonfire brazier thing. Bronn kind of looks over. He's out on a little island hillock in the middle of nowhere, it seems like, with
like
a giant bow.
Like at the edge of the bay, it looked like, the peninsula kind of bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's got a big bow and arrow, and he's like, all right, I hope this fucking works.
Viking funeral style, shoots a big old flaming arrow out to the wildfire.
Yep.
An amazing shot.
Yes. Oh, yes, true.
Absolute. Like, if that shot had gone wrong, I'm sure he could have lit a second arrow.
Sure, yeah.
But boy, he needed that to go right.
Yes, yeah. I guess, you know, it reinforces he's a fucking badass. Like, he hit the shot. So does it hit the boat or does it hit the trail?
It hits the trail and then Davos is like watching it burn down the wick towards the boat. And the Lannister ship has kind of gotten its way into the middle of where their fleet is.
Yeah.
And he looks over and his son is standing at the bow? Because you bow forwards.
Right.
And I think the stern is the rear of the ship.
Okay.
And then port left, starboard home.
So Howard Stern loves the rears. That's
Howard
how you
Stern
remember it.
Howard Stern loves rears.
Yes.
Bowfinger was a very forward-thinking movie.
Sure.
Port should be left in the drinks cabinet where it is.
Yeah.
And
starboard is the only one that we haven't got
the
one
other
for.
One. Yeah. Is the top.
Has no mnemonic device. So he's like, ah, shit. And it burns down and it fucking explodes in, I'm going to say, the best explosion on film that I can think of.
The green really helps.
Yeah.
The green fire looks fucking awesome. It's a huge ass explosion.
It's massive. It sort of has these like stages as well where you're like, oh, it's just a boat exploding. Oh, it's 100 boats exploding. Yeah.
And it's knocking over the mast and it is expensive looking, but it doesn't look CGI or like...
Agreed.
Tacky. It looks...
Mm. It's not a Transformer exploding.
No.
It's not Michael Bay. It's...
Apparently, CGI things at night are way easier to do too.
Right. I guess reinforce the reality maybe.
And like even Jurassic, like the first Jurassic Park.
Mm.
Marketing's so effective because I wouldn't probably have talked about Jurassic Park this much, but because there's a new one coming out, it's at the front of everybody's brains.
Yep. Yeah.
Anyway.
Or the bow of everyone's brains.
I bow to your remembering of that. But the dinosaur T-Rex scene has the most CGI in that movie, and they were like, we need to make it at night because it kind of hides the detail a little bit, so you can get away with it. But it looks great.
Yeah, they mix the wildfire. Also the T-Rex.
And the T-Rex.
The T-Rex, I think they mix animatronic and CG at night as well. Yeah, that's really good.
A couple of animatronic ships here.
Yes.
But it looks fantastic. And it's that thing of like an explosion blowing bodies away and everyone's flying off. And
including Mathos.
If Mathos is gone, Davos flies off into the distance.
Yeah. I think it's really well done because it obliterates Mathos, just disintegrates into flames.
Yeah.
Davos is like jumping off the edge and he sort of like gets blown under the water and, you know, kind of goes away a little bit. And then the fire just gets everything else.
And it has like very like Cross of Lord of the Rings and Saving Private Ryan, these couple of the two movies featuring violence that I've seen.
Yes.
But it's like that the people kind of burning and lingering on them as though you're sort of, it's kind of point of view from someone who's there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fire like, picks up and takes the different stages, and then some of it's green, some of it's just regular fire.
Mm.
And it spends a while lingering on people rolling about going, "Up, fuck!"
And like back on the wall, Tyrion is like, "Oh my God, that's fucked." Yeah. Like, it's good that it worked. Like, it's a little mixture of like, it's like if you dropped the nuke, you know, you're like, boy, I'm glad we finished World War II, but that is the fuckedest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, this is like clearly the biggest explosion since Dragon Times.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
This is a massive deal.
Yes.
And it looks great.
Yep.
Doesn't stop him completely.
No.
Because Stannis is like...
Yeah, Stannis is fine.
He goes, and he says something like, well, they've done their little trick.
Yes.
Like, Stannis?
Yeah.
Pretty big trick.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and then he gives like a rousing speech.
Yep.
No, he doesn't. He just said, I remember that he like walks down and it looks as though he's going to give a rousing speech. He's like,
oh, that's right. Yeah.
Let's go kill him or something.
Yeah.
He says something cool, but it's short.
I think he does say like, let's go kill him.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Let's get him.
Yeah. Well, here we go.
Yeah.
But it's effective. Man, a few words, but the words count.
Yep.
And
he leads the charge. He's like, let's go. Let's land. And they're like, mate, if we land, we're not close enough. So we're going to be landing over here and we've got to run across the beach.
Yeah.
And hundreds will die. And Stannis is like, thousands will die.
Fuck yes.
Make it a million. You think hundreds are cool? They just go. They just go for it.
And they're on their little rowboats.
Mm-hmm.
So then Tyrion does go like, all right, start shooting at them now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess we just kind of go through the battle here.
Yeah, sure.
Because the two halves, I do like all the stuff with Cersei and Sansa that happens during this too.
Yep.
But that'll kind of be easier to talk about just after this.
Yeah.
It kind of flips back and forth.
Yeah, great. Yeah, it is like scene for scene.
So they like, they start storming the beach. People, I think the Hound is like leading the initial charge.
Yeah, so when Tyrion says, shoot the arrows and Hound... You lead a party onto the beach out the gate and get any, of the stragglers, anyone who makes it through the arrow fire.
Yeah.
And the Hound's like, cool, all right, let's go.
And as they're shooting those initial arrows, there's a couple of times where the Hound's like, oh, God, they're on fire.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he passes by one of the archers and he's like, if you get any of those flaming arrows near me, I'll fucking rip your guts out.
And so they run out onto the beach.
He says, if any of you die with a clean sword, I'll rape your fucking corpse.
Yeah.
Which is a great battle cry.
Worse for him than the corpse.
Absolutely.
I would be like, oh, mate, you can't rape it because I will allow you to do that.
Yes, yeah.
Because I don't give a shit about it. I'm an organ donor.
You can have my butthole.
Donate the biggest organ I have.
You'd stop. You'd be like, wait a minute. So, but I'll be... dead, so it's and then you'd get cut in half.
Yeah, you shouldn't yell something confusing if you're running to battle. It should be clear and just like, let's go kill him.
Yes.
Stannis had it right.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And then there's a very brutal kind of and really good battle scene here.
Yes,
the first I think proper battle scene that we've gotten.
Yep.
Proper actual war, two warring king's armies.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. Yep.
And it's good.
It's great. The Hound's awesome. He cuts a guy in half.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, he cuts a couple guys in half, I think. Like one vertical, one horizontal.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
I bet there was an argument while they were filming it. Like, no, you should cut him vertically. You should cut him horizontally. And like a little Mexican girl when, hey, dumbasses. For anyone who hasn't seen the Porqueno Los Dos ad.
Yes, which is an Australian ad.
It doesn't feature a Mexican girl. No. I made it up.
Basically, they start losing that fight on the beach. More and more of Stannis' troops are making it. They've got ladders and rocks and arrows.
They overturn a boat to use as cover. Yep. They are using some pretty clever tricks.
Absolutely.
Stannis does like... is about to say something to one dude when a rock lands right on his head.
Splits his head off.
It just blows it up.
Yeah.
And Stannis is like talking to the rock. There's like a little smiley face painted on the rock. Yes. He's like, why are you so stony faced?
And then the guy slowly falls over.
Yeah.
Like, oh, whoops.
Ladders up. Their battering ram is... Everyone retreats from the beach.
Yes.
Especially the Hound.
Yes.
Because he's seen a lot of people on fire. This guy runs towards him who's on fire. Mm. And he's like, well, this is literally my worst fear.
Yes.
So I'm going inside. He goes inside. He's like, get me wine. I think Tyrion is like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. You were leading like that party. Mm. You need to get back out there. Like, get back out there,
you're
man.
You're like a general, essentially, or whatever. You people need to see you there.
Yep.
You go out there and fight for your country and your king.
That's right.
And he goes, fuck fighting.
Yeah.
Fuck my country. Fuck honor. Fuck the king.
Yeah.
And then walks off.
Yeah.
Boy.
It's a hell of a way to quit a job.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to say the next time I quit a job. Fuck the king.
The Hound's basically out at that point. And he's like the best fighter we've seen.
And also like has been really loyal. He clearly has his problems with some of the stuff that goes on. But the fact that he will still do those things despite having issues with them suggests a massive amount of loyalty.
Totally.
And for a bit of fire to make him like, oh, boy.
Yep.
He's clearly afraid of it, but yeah.
Bronn also is on the beach at this point. So Bronn shows up when the Hound is starting to freak out.
Yeah.
And Bronn is like taking care of business. So he is out there and he's fighting. He's fighting the good fight. But yeah, at this point, the Hound basically quits.
And so in the meantime,
yes,
there's been Cersei and Sansa sitting up in this little safety bit.
Yep.
Where they're keeping all of like the sort of noble women.
Yes.
And Cersei's been sitting on this cushion and like keeping calling her over and being like, hey, bitch, what's your fucking problem? Like effectively doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You think
just trying to freak her out.
Yeah, exactly. You think you've got problems now? Well, guess what? It gets worse. Yeah. It basically only gets worse.
This like even if we win, even if Stannis doesn't come up here and rape you himself, guess what Joffrey's doing for the rest of your life?
Yes.
You little shit.
Yeah.
Like she's got this weird kind of almost jealousy towards Sansa because she's, I suppose, a potential political threat to her family and stuff she sees her as.
Yeah.
And
but also she's like younger than her.
And that she is getting good at playing this game.
Yep.
Of pretending to be pretending to be okay with the shit she has to put up with.
Sure, which is exactly what Cersei did as well.
Yeah.
Cersei did it and
that's probably part of why she hates her, because she sees herself in her, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because it is the exact same progression of, well, no, because, well.
What I think is that Cersei sees Sansa in the same position as Cersei was, but she doesn't see Sansa as someone who is as smart as Cersei is herself, you know, is willing to take risks and you know, pull moves and be ruthless. She just sees someone who's putting up with it and I think maybe doesn't respect it.
At some point she says, like, Ilyn Payne isn't here to protect us. If they get up here, he's going to fucking kill us.
Yes.
What do you think about that? And everyone hates you. Like,
yeah.
She's just being so, like, drunk teenager.
Totally.
And Ilyn Payne wearing the most comical fucking frown.
Yes.
Like an upside down letter U.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
Yep.
He's a very funny looking man.
He's like painted white basically as well.
Yeah,
like
this fucking cartoon frowning skull.
Yeah.
Which is sick. And Shay is up there as well because she's still Sansa's handmaiden.
Yep.
And at some point she's like going up to Shay being like, who are you? How come you've got an accent?
Yeah.
You think you're hot? And being all weird about it. And then Lance will burst back in and he's like, we're kind of fucking losing out there.
Yeah. This Lancel's got shot with an arrow and basically he ran away before the Hound did. He runs out straight away.
Yeah, gets shot immediately.
Gets shot and is like, oh, I guess I'm going to run away now.
Hamina, hamina.
Yeah.
And he fucks up. And then, tells Cersei
this shit's getting fucked. And Cersei being like, get Joffrey out.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit. Get him out.
Even Lancel at that point is like, they need him out there. Like, he's the king. They need him for morale. Like, you know, I understand he's not doing anything, but
yeah,
he has to be out there. And she's like, no, fucking get him here.
Yeah. And so that message gets sent down there with Mandy Moore.
Yes.
And like, they go down there and like, oh, Cersei's requesting you and Tyrion's like, fuck that shit. You need to stay here.
Yeah.
And Joffrey's like, oh, is it serious?
Yeah. How urgent did it sound?
Must be urgent. Oh,
I'd love to lead the charge, but you know.
I better go. And he walks off through the middle of all the men too. Yeah. Like, couldn't make it more clear.
People are going like, is that the king retreating?
Oh, it seems as though the king is exiting the battlefield.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should stay. Like, everyone seems low morale.
Yeah.
And then Tyrion, he bloody does a bit of a one more inch speech.
Yes. Yeah. He does they'll never take our freedom speech.
Yeah.
And people are into it.
They like it.
They're like, hold on a second. That little man's got something.
And he's like, you call me half a man. Well, does that make you a quarter man or something?
He says, like, I hope they don't cut me in half and then I'll be a quarter man.
He makes a joke about it. Yeah. And like, if I'm a half a man and I go out there, then what the fuck are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he puts on his armor and he's like very reluctantly going, all right.
Yeah.
I'm going out on battlefield.
Going out. Probably going to die. This is it.
Bronn is being pretty supportive of him.
Yeah, he's
like
a good
was
friend.
Early. He's like, I saw you kill a man with a shield. Imagine
That's
what you
right.
can do with an axe.
Yeah, yeah.
So Tyrion is, whether he wants to or not, joining the fray.
Yes.
And he does that for about 20 seconds until yet again. Well, until this time. It's Mandy Moore, right?
Yes.
Swipes him in the fucking face with an axe.
Yeah.
Or a sword or something.
So, yeah, like Tyrion's had a bit of a fight and he's like, oh, hey, I'm doing it.
And he does okay for a little bit, right? Like he's out there and he chops someone's leg off straight away. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, then he's in the thick of battle. He looks up. There's a bit of, you know, a bit of a clear space, a bit of silence. And Mandy Moore's like, I'm going to cut your face off.
Yeah. And it's very, you see the sword swing and then slowly like the wound open up on his face and he collapses.
Yeah. Podrick then stabs Mandy Moore's head off.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Bronn?
No, it's Podrick.
Podrick comes up with like a spear from behind or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like he's kind of cradling him and you kind of don't see any more of him after that.
Yes. There was another thing that happened. Oh, yes. So back in with Cersei and Sansa and Shay.
Yeah.
Shay is like at this point, like, you got to get out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Go to your room. Get out of the city. Like, you know, this is fucked. Just go. And Sansa's like, okay. Are you coming with me? And Shay's like, no, I've got to go say goodbye to someone or something.
Yeah.
So Shay runs off. Sansa goes to her room. And yeah, Sansa like gets in. She's looking around. It's all dark.
Looking at a doll.
Grabs a doll. Yeah, and then notices, oh, who's that over there? It's the fucking Hound.
The Hound's like, well, not a good place for you to be. Or something. He just says something. She's like, what?
I'm gonna.
And he's still drinking wine.
Yep.
And he's like, it's fucked out there. Fuck this. I hate this place.
Yeah, everyone's killing. Everyone just keeps killing. It's just a cycle of killing.
You're in trouble here as well. I can get you to Winterfell if you want.
Yep.
He offers.
Yep.
And she probably sensibly goes like...
Sensibly.
Huh? That's not how you pronounce the word sensibly.
Sorry.
I've
had a few wines.
She said, no. No, Hound. You're a little bit weird with me.
Yeah.
I'm going to... And remember like a few days ago when you said something about fuck me...
Yeah,
on the
battlements
or whatever, you're like, you dumb idiot.
Yeah.
You said something mean about me.
Yes.
I'm not going because you're weird.
You're rude and mean.
Correctly, probably, besides that.
Yep.
So I guess the Hound fucks off.
He does. He leaves. She's like, I'm going to stay here, but you know, with my door barred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all kind of not going their way. Like,
yeah,
it's all getting pretty close to... Stannis is like up on the... The battlements on the wall. They've kind of crossed it. They're doing well. And then...
So, yeah, like, from when Lancel said we're losing, that was, like, a while back, and it's gotten worse.
They've continued to lose.
Yeah.
Until you hear a big... or whatever.
Mm.
And some more people ride in. There's Loras Tyrell swiping his sword around and being a good knight and saying good night to a couple of bloody people.
Yeah.
And Tywin is here as well.
He certainly is.
So at some point, the Tyrells have been brought along by Tywin.
Mm.
He's gone and had words with somebody because he rode off from Harrenhal being like, we're going to go get Rob.
Yes, he did. We're going to march at night. We're going to take him by surprise.
And I guess halfway through that, he was like, actually...
Actually, it seems like my city's going to get overrun, so better go save them, which I don't know how he figured it out.
Yeah, I don't know why he had that plan and then didn't do that plan.
Yeah. But also, what also has happened, so around the time that Shay ran off, Sansa went to her room, Cersei's gone to the throne room.
Mm.
She's got Tommen. Right. Yeah. She's sitting there with that bottle of poison, and she's telling Tommen a little story about lions and cubs and wolves and stags.
Yeah.
And it doesn't... It was basically just a little excuse for her to build up to poisoning him to death.
Yeah.
And herself, I guess. And, yeah, after that big charge and the horses come, Stannis...
Like a second before she's about to drip the poison into his mouth.
Yeah.
Because Pycelle was like, a drop makes you sleepy.
Yeah.
10 drops... Oh boy, you're super sleepy. And in burst Tywin into the throne room.
Mm.
And they're like, we've won.
End of episode. That's,
see you later.
That's it. He comes in and says, we won the battle.
Yeah.
Cut or fade to black, I think it is.
So at this point, don't know what's happened with Tyrion.
Yep.
Don't know what's happened with Stannis.
No, his soldiers like grabbed him by the arms and were like, come on, man, it's not worth it.
That's right. And he's like, nah, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
No one looks to me like that.
Yeah. He's like, we were so close. Like, and they were close. But
that's true.
Yeah.
Tyrion Tywin, I mean, and Lancel have joined forces.
Loras, you mean?
I do mean Loras.
Yep.
The Tyrells and the Lannisters now evidently working together.
Yep. Which is a big surprise. I don't think I even remembered that's what happened. I thought it was just Tywin from memory.
And that's happened off screen somewhere. Because last we saw the Tyrells, it was fuck everyone. We're in this together with like Margaery and Loras.
Yeah, yeah.
It was right after Renly had been killed.
And Littlefinger had been like, hey, Margaery, you want to be a queen, right? And she was like, yeah, I want to be the queen.
Yeah.
So I think that's the last time we saw them.
Right. Cersei will have a hangover.
Yep.
Sansa's still sitting in her room.
Yep.
The Hound is off.
Mm-hmm.
Bronn's done a good job.
Yep. Davos is... We haven't seen him.
But he got blown pretty far away from an explode. But like... he wasn't as clear of a vaporization death as his son.
Yep. Which in comic books and fantasy TV shows means they're probably coming back at some point.
If shit happens off screen, or if a death happens off screen, it probably isn't a death.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where we stand. Shay is still there somewhere.
Yep, somewhere running around. And we didn't see any of the Greyjoys or the Starks this episode at all.
Just King's Landing.
Yeah. Yep.
Which works because you need to focus on this battle. And yeah, it looks good. It's well shot. The battle is effective. I think a good... I watched it on my phone, which like maybe took some of the majesty out of it.
Well, you've seen it before.
Yeah. And my phone is 55 inches.
It really is.
But it's just an all-round fun, you know, obviously...
A lot of killing,
a lot of dreary sort of thoughts.
Yeah,
people going like, "Well, we're gonna die, and probably worse before that."
But it's engaging, it's dynamic, it's exciting. It's like if you got to poke holes in it or have some criticism, it's not as impressive as a you know Lord of the Rings Two Towers battle or whatever. But
for TV though,
for TV
and
it's,
especially TV in 2012 when this was first aired.
Yep.
This was pretty like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That could have been in a movie and gotten away with.
Yes, agreed, yeah.
So it's nice to see them actually deliver on one of these battles that they're having too.
Sure. And a heap of character, you know, evolution and movement and stuff as well.
Totally. To contain that stuff in a fight scene is really important.
Yeah.
And good. And that's why all of the best fight scenes have that.
Sure. They're not actually about fist fighting or... stuff like that. It's about dynamics changing and shit like that.
You either go real hard in one direction where it's lots of fun prop jokes like Jackie Chan.
Yes.
Or you go real hard in the other direction where every punch is a character.
Yeah, yes, totally.
Yeah, good episode. Like, obviously, some stuff happens, but it's more... it's kind of like a payoff to the stuff that's been set up, but also more of a setup of like, oh shit, now the entire landscape here has changed. Stannis, is Stannis still a threat to anybody?
Right, if they blew up half his fleet or most of his fleet, you know.
Yeah. Now the Lannisters and the fucking Tyrells are working together. Does that make them like a massive unstoppable force? Because they were the thing that made Renly so dangerous.
Yes, yeah. And it's like, well, we don't like the Lannisters, but did we like the Tyrells? I think we did, maybe, so... Yeah. What's going on here?
Tywin's burst in with his cool armor in through the doors of the...
Yeah. Well, like we've said before, like possibly our favorite character in the show is now in the thick of the politics and stuff as well.
The fact that Tywin, this granddad as well, has his like bloody sword and his big thick armor and he's been fighting as well.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I kind of wish we'd have gotten to see him swing his sword a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, but maybe he is actually too old in real life. I don't know.
No, Charles Dance is probably, what, 32? 33?
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking maybe closer to 40. That's, you know,
could get a Charles Dance stand-in, though.
Yeah, true.
I reckon if you got fucking Jorah Mormont, his actor, from behind.
Grey up his hair. Yeah, true.
I reckon he, from behind, would look like him.
I'd love to see him from behind.
Dude, that's a great thing about being behind someone. You can imagine they're whoever you want.
A real fuck buddy situation. yeah, so that's that episode. It's really good. Shall we do some spoiler discussion?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
So that's, I guess, the end of the non-spoiler bit for anyone watching the show for the first time.
Yes.
If that is you, please send us an email.
Yep.
ariatalkingtomepod@gmail.com.
Indeed.
And we'll talk non-spoiler about your emails there.
Yes, we know there are a few people who are watching for the first time. So, yeah, very keen to hear what you think.
Yeah, let us know if this is still... Because I remember at the time watching this episode and being like, fuck.
Yeah, I was, the criticisms I mentioned, like, at the time I was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
Totally.
Like, I was totally into it.
So let us know if it still kind of has the same impact.
Mm.
However many years later, 6 years later.
Yeah, and speculate on... the characters' fates that we're not sure of.
Yep.
Because, hey, who knows what's happening with any of them? We do.
but other than that, if you're watching for the first time, we'll see you next week. For those of you watching for the however many after first time.
Yes.
Welcome to the spoiler-filled, sealed Zigbee.
It's the sealed section. So what's there to talk about in the sealed section?
Not heaps, I reckon.
Mm.
Podrick...
Yes,
there he ends up being a,
like that's this. We find this out in the very next episode.
Tyrion's still alive. Yeah,
Tyrion's alive, and Cersei got Mandon Mor to go and kill him.
Yeah.
So yeah,
and you can kind of, like that is what I think I assumed the first time watching it.
Yes,
too, because they really show like this is the gold cloak guy, or the Kingsguard or whatever he is.
Mm-hmm.
It is clear, and especially from the conversation that they had. Recently of like, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Yeah. Cersei going like, Joffrey, come back, you go and kill Tyrion. That's basically exactly how it plays out.
Joffrey,
come back.
I don't have a huge amount to say because it's really all action. It is mainly action.
Mathos is gone. He was never gonna last long. No. He was way too fanatical about that religion. He didn't have much else going on as a character.
He works as a device to set up Davos's, or to further Davos's distrust of this religion, I suppose.
Yeah, true. That's very true. Yes.
But yeah, it's mainly what's in this episode is contained. Bronn gets called Bronn of the Blackwater.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But
he was great in the battle. There was something else. Varys is being much more like, hey, Tyrion, I'm your mate. I'm going to help you. And that obviously pays off in 5 years.
Yeah, he definitely actually thinks Tyrion's cool.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. What else happens? I guess a lot of the stuff that Cersei is saying to Sansa informs Sansa's character progression a little bit later on. But yeah.
If this was like Tywin hearing, oh, fuck, Stannis is nearly there. We better turn around.
Yeah.
Tywin showing up to King's Landing. is a real piece of shit thing to happen to Tyrion.
Yes.
Because he immediately strips him of Hand of the King, and then the stuff with Shay ends up happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Couldn't have been worse. I mean, I guess it would have been worse had Stannis won and killed everyone. But
maybe not for Tyrion.
Yeah.
I reckon Tyrion could have talked his way out of that and been like, look, I fucking hate Joffrey.
Yeah, potentially.
Joffrey wasn't even a Baratheon. You're a real Baratheon. Let me hang out with you.
Yeah. But we'll never know.
I will.
Okay.
I'm going to ask George Martin, the Beatles producer who's died.
Yeah, go for it.
I think he's dead.
I think he did die a couple of years ago, yeah.
That's a shame.
Great producer.
Hey, all things must pass.
Mm.
George Harrison's solo song.
All you need is love.
Heap of like future stuff. Just like, I guess this is like the other thing I would say in regards to having seen the rest of the episode, how much this battle still does hold up as being quite good.
Yes.
And isn't massively. The one that I think beats it is the
Bastards.
The Bastards.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah. That I think is the best one. And I don't like it as much because I don't like the characters involved in it as much.
I really like Thingo. What's his name?
The Bastard?
Yeah, Ramsay.
Oh, right.
Ramsay's
He's a good
great.
Villain, yeah.
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 And John, that was John's peak.
Sure,
that battle as well. I kind of bought, I see why people think he's the king.
Sure, and that's after he'd come back to life, right? And he was like, I'm going to fucking die again.
And like he's fighting real well. He's a good leader.
A lot of good stuff happens in it.
Yeah.
Like a lot of little mini set pieces and stuff.
I remember Davos being cool in that as well.
Right, right.
I just remember some line in that episode where Davos is like, follow your commander!
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, that's a cool dad.
Yeah, he is a cool dad. But it also has this exact same sort of deus ex machina of a bunch of horses riding in and saving the day. But
yeah, it does.
But yeah, I agree that it's better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, good episode.
Let's read a couple of emails because we've got a whole bunch. Let's see, from Kane. So
my brother, the Undertaker.
He says, hey boys, I'm a huge fan of both the podcasts, yada yada yada. I actually did yada 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 stuff because he fills us in on the woman with the dumb mask, but he also
it was kind of what we guessed. She's from the books, Destiny, prophecy. Probably just shouldn't have even been in the show.
Absolutely. But he does ask a question, which I thought was good. What characters in Game of Thrones do you think would make the best and worst roommates?
Oh, very good question.
Yeah. I mean, Tyrion fucking loves a yarn, loves a drink.
Yeah.
Good to play poker with, I reckon.
Do you reckon he'd be... It'd depend what era Tyrion you get, though.
Okay.
If you get an early Tyrion, it's like, Tyrion, fucking keep it down.
Yeah.
You bring 5 girls home every night.
Yeah, okay.
You're up until all hours of the morning, and it's this place is a shithole.
Yeah.
But then he'd pay to have it cleaned, I guess.
Totally. And you'd get all of his, you get his runoff.
Yeah, true.
Drink and lady friend. You know, like you'd have a good time, I reckon.
Yeah, true.
You would have to be in the right mood.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. I think he'd be a bit intense.
Yeah.
I think most of them would be a bit intense.
Sam, the worst?
No, Jorah would be the worst.
Oh,
because he'd get up every morning and be like, oh, I texted Daenerys again last night.
That's true.
Oh,
that is true.
Do you think Daenerys can... Oh, never mind. I think Daenerys might like these tea cozies.
Hey,
I got.
Jorah, you want to come to this party? There's some girls there.
Oh, will Daenerys be there? Oh,
I don't know, man. Maybe. But like, there's this other girl, Rebecca. She's really into you.
Mm. Is she blonde?
That's just kind of like a strawberry blonde.
No. I might just stay home and finish my painting.
What are you painting, Jorah?
Oh, no. Don't look at it. Doesn't matter.
You're using a lot of white paint in there.
No.
Oh, Jorah. You're an idiot.
But other than that, I reckon Jorah would be chill.
Yeah.
But that bit is...
He'd have some good little war stories and stuff, I'm sure.
Bronn might be okay.
Yeah, but then he might kill you for reason.
Fuck, there's not a lot of good people. Hot pie, he can cook.
Sure.
Like late post-bully hot pie.
Yeah, post actually making a pie, hot pie.
Yeah, Gendry.
Yeah, he seems cool.
He's just pretty normal.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, hey, I made us this barbecue.
Sure. He'd be a good gym buddy.
Yeah.
You know, good motivator.
Like, I guess young Ned.
Sure.
But, yeah, oh, fuck, man, I wouldn't want to live with most of them.
Not Theon and not Sam, basically.
No. Oh, and not Littlefinger. Varys would probably be okay. Oh, yeah. Varys.
Yeah.
Because he'd keep, like, you would have no secrets.
Sure.
You would never be out, like, he would know everything about you.
Yes.
But imagine having a little bloody goss of an afternoon.
Yeah, fuck, that'd be
good. With Varys.
Yeah. Yep.
That'd be all right.
Yep. I like it.
You know what? Roz always seemed okay.
Yeah.
She's in a bad situation, but she seems okay. Any of the John's friends at the wall other than Sam seem fine?
Yes.
But what did they do before the wall?
One of them got molested. I don't know about the others.
Well, then that's not... Yeah, he didn't do anything there.
No, he was a singer.
That's right, because he used to sing. I can sing you a couple songs.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be fine. Have a little band. A little college band.
Yeah. No, I'm most of them I think you would probably not want
around. Anyone who's so interesting that they're a main character in a fantasy thing would be a fuck to live with.
Yeah.
thanks for the question, Kane. Let me just have a look through here. All right, I'll read this one from Daniel. So he says, hey, guys, love
just
the
living with Jorah is the way trying to go to sleep and just hearing him crying in his room.
Khaleesi. Love the podcast, blah, blah, blah. Thanks, Daniel. One thing I notice you guys frequently point out is how you prefer the earlier seasons of the show and wanted to throw in an opinion on the contrary. As a person who read the books, I felt the earlier seasons massively paled in comparison to the source material and was kind of telling a less interesting version of what I'd already read. It wasn't until season four's battle at the wall.
That's the one where, like, the giants are there.
Right.
And they're trying to climb up it.
Sure. That I found myself actually fully engaging with the show, and my favorite episodes have since been the action set pieces. While you guys seem to lament the refocus on action, I think Game of Thrones produces some of the strongest action I've seen on any screen. A timely email.
I agree. The action definitely... The only problem I've had... Well, I'll let you finish the email.
Let alone limited to a television show. I'm a massive fan of the controversial episode where the time fluctuates wildly, which I think is the one where they're stuck on the little ice island in season 7.
Yeah.
You must reference. Because the tension is great, and we've never really seen horror in a war setting quite like we do in the show. Which is fair, because there's zombies and stuff. Keen to hear your thoughts. Not sure if my opinion will remotely relate to the consensus, and it's not the end of the world if you disagree, blah, 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 blah. Thanks for your time, blah, blah, blah. Daniel.
I agree with most of that. The time stuff I don't think ever really bothered me that much at the time.
I had an issue with it in combination with the other stuff that I had an issue with.
The thing that really got me was when Daenerys just swooped in.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that she shouldn't have been there at that time or whatever, that she shouldn't have had enough time to get there. It's that it was at exactly the right moment.
Yeah.
It's people bursting in. But there's been a couple of times rewatching this where there's been somebody burst through a door at exactly the right moment.
Yes, yes.
So, you know...
I think that the ones that we've seen thus far in, like, up to end of season 2 have been more justified by stuff we've already seen in the lead up. Maybe not so much the Tywin thing.
Right.
But otherwise, at least it makes sense and we've been given enough along the way to believe it.
And I don't think those ones have undercut what's been happening.
Mm.
Whereas Daenerys swooping in did undercut that horror tension that he was talking about.
Yes.
They didn't find their own way out of there,
mm-hmm.
which I guess they didn't during the Blackwater thing or whatever, but it does make logical sense that there's these other armies who have a vested interest in keeping King's Landing.
Yeah.
Whereas I know it makes sense that Daenerys would want to help them, but that one specific bit was just a bit too convenient.
It also, I think, was sort of like she didn't go up there initially with them. So, but why didn't she want to, and why didn't she change her mind, and why it was all a little bit wishy-washy,
right?
And
exactly,
convenient,
and it's setups that don't have payoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Jamie falling into the river, and you're like, oh, whoa, he's still wearing his, and then he comes up and
magically. Like, he was like, oh, he didn't drown.
So why did you make it happen?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was that sort of stuff. Like, why have Daenerys not agree with them if she is going to and have the exact same consequences anyway?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, and then, yeah, it was all a bit convenient and a little bit hammy. basically.
But we'll see as we get back around, because I'm sort of finding this earlier stuff a little more hammy.
Yeah,
than
sure.
I did the first time around as well.
Yep.
So I might be a little more critical of this and a little more easygoing of that as we go through again.
I still tend to think the earliest stuff is way tighter because it's based on a story that was already written that was also very tightly plotted.
Yep.
So that's kind of where I'm at.
I think it's just always going to have more fanciful possibilities of when you're early on in something. It's like, whoa, anything could happen.
Sure.
And then as it's all drawing to a point, as everything's coming together and reaching an ending, it's going to be like, oh, I see where this is going, and it is going there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or it's not going the direction it seems like it should.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
Well,
there's fewer
yeah.
characters, and there's, you know, it's just the possibilities get tighter.
Yes.
So your amount that you're engaging with it intellectually is less because you're not going like, oh, but I wonder if that means this and if this person would betray that person.
Sure.
It's
sure.
like there are kind of good guys and bad guys at the point where we're at.
And
now.
Why isn't it happening this way? Because it seems like it should always have happened this way.
Yeah.
Instead, you've gone this dumb way. That's yeah. how I was definitely feeling in season 7.
Cool. Well, should we call that an episode for this
yes.
week?
Yes, let's do. Thank you for listening. To the majority of people of who've listened to the episode, I think you're mostly spoiler people, so you're mostly here listening to this at this point.
Hello, thank you for being our roommates.
Yes.
Better than bloody Sam.
Oh, Sam.
Oh, he left. He's got so many plates in his room.
Oh, fuck, he would.
He didn't bring him down. What the fuck, Sam?
You ate my Doritos again. Fucking Sam.
Actually, there are Doritos. It's our house. He'd say something like that.
Yeah.
Sam.
Get all fucked. Right. all right, that's the end of the episode. Goodbye. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
That was fucking...
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus... Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.